Milan, 1488. Rue ducked around the corner of a high mausoleum, pressing his shoulders to the stone wall. Out of habit, he rested his hand on the knife he kept at his belt. Rue knew it would do no good to use it. It would make the man angry, perhaps slow him down a bit, but it wouldn't kill him. Garin had been Rue's squire. He'd taught Garin how to be a soldier. Rue had been like a father to him, and at times even a friend. But since Jeanne's death, they'd been enemies more often than friends. Rue believed that if all the sword pieces were collected, something great would occur. Garin was afraid that he and Rue would lose their immortality. The bastard would have dropped a piece of the sword in the ocean if Rue hadn't managed to grab it at the last minute. Such insolence. Rue wasn't about to let the bastard get in his way this time. He slammed into his larger and stronger pupil. Rue took an elbow to the ribcage. Garin wrapped an arm around Rue's neck, smashed the man's face into his knee, and shoved him to the ground. As Garin lunged for him, Rue kicked Garin in the jaw. The oaf stumbled away and crashed into a mausoleum. Both men struggled to their feet. Blood flew from lips and noses as the two men pummeled each other. Rue sat on Garin, grabbed his tunic, and smashed his head into the ground. Garin twisted a leg around Rue. The key he'd been holding flew out of his grip. Garin grabbed the key and rushed into the mausoleum. Rue rubbed at his jaw.
Guess he's learned a few new tricks without me.
His former protege seemed to be having difficulties within the old stone building.
How does this stupid thing work, Rue?
It's a key. You shove it in and turn it, idiot.
Rue propped up on an elbow and frowned. Was there no way to be rid of the man? Though best he was close to the prize when finally the safe was opened.
Get in here.
Patience. I'm an old man, and the bones are creaky.
You're agile, swift, and dangerous. I know that better than most. Now come help me before I get so angry I take down the whole place.
Rue stood and wandered into the mausoleum. Garin bled at the eye and the corner of his mouth. Good. He deserved it.
I imagine that, should you beat down the walls, the safe would remain standing. We'd be no closer to the prize. Or rather, I would be no closer. Why do you insist on thwarting my mission? It's nothing to do with you.
It's everything to do with me.
How so?
Garin paused and then gestured impatiently.
God, hand me the key.
Garin slapped the needed item into Rue's palm. In the darkness, he could barely make out the lock. Feeling blindly with his fingertips, he finally fitted the key into the small port.
I did that. Nothing happened.
It probably requires a strong turn.
Tried that too, old man.
To be quiet and let me concentrate.
Bending over the stone safe, he wriggled the key in the lock, feeling if it would give in one direction or the other. He pushed the key upward, and it moved. Downward, it slid as if on greased wheels. Then, at an angle to the left, and right. The safe door popped open. Garin sat up.
One of these days, old man.
Stand back and give me some light.
Garin complied, and moonlight beamed in and highlighted the opened safe. Inside the safe were two notebooks, a curious wooden box fitted with metal parts, gears, and arabesque designs, and a small silver chunk of steel that looked melted and warped. Rue grabbed the piece of steel and started to close the door. When he made to close the safe door, Garin's hand clamped over his.
What's that?
Lying before the box was also a small iron cross. It was in the style of the Lorraine cross Leonardo had once shown him.
I am not a thief.
You are, and you just proved it. I, on the other hand, will take whatever can fill my purse with coin. And what is that box? It looks like it's bejeweled. Let me in there, old...
How many times do I have to tell you?
After locking the safe, Rue carefully replaced the key in his purse, along with the steel. He stepped over Garin's sprawled body and hurried away down an aisle of tombstones. A quick stop into Da Vinci's studio to return the key, and then on to claim his horse. He would ride out of Milan before sunrise.
You have the laptop I bought for you?
Yes. What do you want me to look up?
I am not familiar with modern-day Milan. I can't recall where Leonardo's studio once stood.
You think that's where Scout is headed?
I do.
Give me a minute.
Anya tugged the laptop out of her backpack. It wasn't long before she had a Wi-Fi connection and typed in a search for Leonardo's address while he'd stayed in 15th century Milan. She thought it might be a good idea to check the location of Ludovico Sforza's castle, or else very close by. Anya skimmed through the search results.
Huh. Milan was devastated by plague for 3 years during Leonardo's era, and work on the dome of the cathedral was started.
Are you looking for a location or not?
Yeah, okay. All right, according to this bio, after Sforza's fall in 1499, Leonardo left the court for Mantua and Venice.
Anything about where he lived, specifically?
Not sure. There are no addresses that I can find, but give me a minute.
I never went inside the castle. The studio was not far from there. I remember a big white doorway opening to his studio. No stairs, slabs of marble against the walls, and canvases stretched on frames.
Anya spent another 10 minutes searching online, but to no avail.
Yes, I know he had his own studio in Milan.
She signed on to archaeology.net and posted a question in one of the forums on Renaissance art.
Ah, damn, nothing. There's gotta be... Hang on. I have an idea. Currently in Milan, and am looking for original site of Leonardo da Vinci's studio. Anyone know the location or the vicinity? Thanks. I've posted about the location on an archaeology site. I usually get replies within 24 hours. So what'd you have in mind? You think the device was transferred from the safe in the cemetery back to his studio?
It's only a guess. The music box could have been destroyed for all we know.
Well, certainly if there were items left behind in Leonardo's studio, they've been cataloged and recorded. Maybe I can find out once I get settled somewhere. I assume we're staying in Milan?
Until we figure things out, yes. Braden is likely staying here.
Rue pointed out the window. Anya hadn't realized he'd parked. The hotel was on the opposite side of the street. A liveried doorman helped a sophisticated-looking woman out of the back of a limo. A black SUV pulled away from the drive in front of the parked limo.
How do you know it's this hotel?
Scout just walked inside before that lady. I'm inclined to believe Braden will know we followed his lackey, and as you said, expect us to drop in on him. So, what do you say?
I'm in.
Excellent. You go first. I'll park the car. I believe the entrance to the lot is behind the hotel.
Sure.
Rue peeled away from the curb.
Jeez, Rue!
Anya spotted a new car, a sleek black sedan. Rue drove past the sedan, and that car stopped, made a U-turn, and followed him.
That old man has got to give up gambling.
Once inside the hotel, Anya looked around the lobby. No sign of Scout.
Excuse me, which way to the parking garage?
Anya approached the scuffle in the parking garage with caution. Rue stood against two thugs. He was holding his own, and she expected him to. He wasn't an old man. In years he was. But he could still deliver a choking throat chop with blinding speed. With one man down and the other reaching inside his jacket for what Anya suspected was a weapon, she decided to join the fray. Anya gripped his wrist and directed the pistol downward. She smashed up against the base of his jaw. His fingers loosened, and she took away the gun and tossed it under a parked car.
I can handle this, Anya!
The other man lunged at Rue, who easily deflected the incoming punch. Meanwhile, Anya dealt with her opponent. He avoided her right hook and kicked out. She jumped over his kick and delivered one of her own to his face.
You want me to leave?
Suit yourself. Watch his blade.
Anya dodged backward as he ran past. As he turned and came back, she slammed into his chest, landing on top of his body. The blade spun out of his hand. The first thug that Rue had left knocked out on the ground was in grabbing distance of it.
Sorry!
Grabbing the side mirror on an SUV, Anya swung up, catching the man in the chest with a forceful kick. He stumbled backward, slamming into the other thug as he swung a knife at Rue. He missed Rue's nose by inches. Rue pressed his hands together and performed a grateful bow to Anya.
Donata!
She gripped the collar of her thug and kneed him in the kidney. He began to wobble and finally collapsed. Rue walked up behind Anya, dusting off his hands.
I think he's done for the count.
He is now.
She stepped back to look over the fallen men.
How much did you win off these guys anyway?
Rue smiled and moved on toward his vehicle.
1.2 million, and I've suddenly developed an extreme aversion to this hotel.
But we tracked Scout here. What if Brayden is here as well?
He'll keep. You want to come along, or are you staying put?
Anya turned back to the men lying on the concrete. They were out cold.
Staying put. They weren't after me. I'll check in and see if anyone replied regarding a possible location for Da Vinci's studio, and find out for sure whether Garin's actually staying here.
Excellent. I'll be in touch.
You're welcome! Jerk.
Asking at reception for Scout Roberts didn't elicit any recognition from the desk clerk.
He's a friend. I was supposed to meet him here. He was just in here about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, that gentleman. American?
Yes, blonde hair, killer smile.
Killer smile?
Not like a killer, kind of sexy and a charming... Forget it. Could you give me his room number?
He is not here with us, miss. He merely came by to pick up a package from one of our former guests. Sorry.
Oh.
A former guest? Could it have been Garin Brayden? She needed to think about this.
Do you have any available rooms here for tonight?
Anya relaxed in her new hotel's bed after a much-deserved trip to the on-site spa. She had made use of the gorgeous sauna and cared for some of her cuts and bruises as sweat rolled down her skin. If she were an ordinary woman, she might just fall into a deep sleep then and there in the comforts of her robe. But of course, relaxation tended to be ephemeral in Anya's line of work. The no-caller ID flashing on her cell phone screen annoyed her.
Hello?
Anya, I'm surprised you didn't catch me. You know, I think you let me get away.
We needed to follow you back to your home base.
Which you didn't find.
What do you want now, Scout?
I get the impression you still don't know everything there is to know about this whole search for the missing music box / time machine, am I right?
I know as much as you do, Scout.
I think not. And I'm willing to divulge my secrets if you'll meet me for coffee without the white-haired old man.
Playing into the enemy's hand, allowing him to lure her to his choice of meeting place, was never wise. But he did have more knowledge than she did. And if he was willing to share...
I saw a bistro near the Parco Sempione that had a pink pig hanging over the door. I'll be there in half an hour.
I'll have the coffee waiting for you. You take cream? Oh, no, wait, let me guess. Black. You're one tough lady.
How did he know that?
As far as Anya was concerned, coffee that bit back was the only way to go. A message from Rue sat in her email inbox. Attached was a PDF scan of the police report filed by the Antiquities Museum in Poland after the heist. It didn't tell her anything new. But the second page was a Milan police document regarding the arrest of Lisa Phelps and the subsequent arrest of her partner, Evan Merrick, a few days later in the States. The thieves who had stolen the Lorraine Cross.
So Phelps must have squealed on her partner since he was caught a few days later in his New York apartment. They admitted to knowing some details of the crime, but were never convicted. In fact, they didn't even receive a court date. Lacking evidence.
Anya leaned back against the padded headboard and dragged the laptop with the notes up onto her thighs. She glanced out the window.
Of course there was no evidence because it had been dumped in the canal. I'm surprised they didn't authorize dredging the canal.
Her eyes scanned the report, and saw that the canal where Evan Merrick admitted the case had been dumped by his companion was listed as the Rio de San Vio, a canal positioned completely opposite in the city from the Fondamenta della Senza, where they had recovered the attaché. It couldn't have drifted from the southern edge of the city to the north. There were too many canals, too many twists and turns, and the tides didn't move that way.
He gave them false information.
So how had Scout Roberts known to look in the Fondamenta della Senza? Weird. She still found it hard to believe both thieves had been let off with nothing more than a slap on the wrist. No fingerprints had been found at the scene of the crime. Thinking back to that first day she had met Scout, or whoever he was, Anya recalled his tale of a lover's quarrel in the gondola floating down the canal. The woman had dumped the attaché case while her lover's attention had been distracted. So that must have been the big breakup. And in an attempt to get back at the man who had scorned her, had the woman purposely dropped him in hot water by partly confessing to the crime? She had to have known going in that they couldn't charge her with the theft without evidence. But a confession should have been sufficient. The details of Lisa Phelps' interrogation were not included. Someone on the inside had to have been helping the thieves. A dirty lawyer or judge? Anya suddenly didn't care about the woman. There had been only two people who knew the exact canal where the attaché case had been dumped overboard. Lisa Phelps and
Evan Merrick.
True to his word, the man who claimed to be Scout Roberts sat waiting for Anya. A steaming coffee cup awaited her, too. She didn't want to get too cozy and start trusting the guy again, and she kept one eye on her surroundings as she sat there. He could have backup, and she wasn't about to be tricked by this one again.
I also ordered some cookies.
Cookies will not erase the double-crossing you've done, Merrick.
Well, look at you. Took you long enough to figure that one out, Creed.
Like I said before, I didn't have the police report.
Rue just sent it to you now? Are you really his employee, or maybe something more like his errand girl?
You should stop trying to bait me, Merrick. It won't work.
The waitress appeared and set down a plate of iced cookies.
Clever, the way you orchestrated the dive and your ultimate escape with the cross.
Well, after you arrived, my plans required some last-minute changes. I impressed even myself with my quick thinking.
Glad to be a problem. So why involve Rue? Why not just dive for the case yourself?
Creed, if I could afford a boat and the equipment, I would have gone down weeks after losing that stupid case. But Lisa, my vindictive ex-partner...
And lover?
She expected me to propose to her that evening, Anya. I thought we were going to have a nice meal, you know, hug, then take a break from each other for a few weeks like we usually did. Marriage? I did not see that one coming.
Anya shook her head, noting the genuine dismay painted on the man's face.
She took everything from me. I called ahead to New York. My good buddy who lives down the hallway on her high-rise reported that she, or someone she had hired, had cleaned out the apartment in less than 2 hours. The walls were bare, and the safe door was hanging open. You know what? She even took the bulbs out of the light fixtures. Can you believe that? I was incarcerated wearing tennis shoes. That is so not my style, Creed.
I'm having trouble shedding a single sympathetic tear.
Now, you women are all the same.
Totally erasing herself from your life. That's one gutsy female, and she had every right to do so.
Yeah, she had no right to erase me. She emptied all our bank accounts.
You didn't have separate accounts?
Yeah, we did. But one of the reasons we worked so well together was that she was the fingers.
Merrick twisted his fingers around as if manipulating a safe dial.
And I was the logistics and getaway man. But Lisa was the computer geek as well. Could crack a digital code in seconds. Bank accounts? No problem.
Sounds like she was doing most of the work.
That's hardly fair, Creed.
Which is why you confessed, to get back at her, which resulted in her arrest in Milan.
I had to go for it, Creed. I knew they didn't have any evidence. I made a plea bargain and walked out of the police station that day.
Anya leaned back against the wicker chair.
Listen, I'm an archaeologist. I'm not an expert in personal relationships or theft.
I thought you wanted the whole story.
I guess I do. How did you get the attaché case open if she was the digital code cracker?
I knew that code all along. I mean, it was my case. But I couldn't have used it with you watching, right?
Right. So what do you think you know that I don't know? And will you tell me why you have so much information on this music box? I know Rue didn't give you details on how it works. And you have no reason to know of its existence.
Rue didn't tell me anything. But then, do you think Rue understands how it works? Maybe the old man's slipping. Did you ever consider that?
He wasn't making sense. Perhaps his intention had been to lure her into the open and waste her time while...
If you sent men to my hotel room to...
I haven't. I've no reason to. You're not the one with all the clout around here. You're just the babysitter. I know things, Cree, things that you don't, but certainly that Rue does.
The only way Scout, Evan, could know about the music box was if Rue or Garin had told him. Yet she hadn't seen Garin, so she had no proof Evan was even working with him. No, he'd mentioned Garin's name. Garin must have given up the details, or else Merrick was bluffing, trying to get information out of her.
You have the notebook.
I do. The notebook is sort of a partner to the Lorraine Cross.
You found it in the case we saved from the canal? Unless... You've had the notebook all along, before diving for the cross.
Give the lady a Cupid doll.
Why wasn't it in the case along with the cross?
Because it wasn't in the museum. The only reason I pinched the Lorraine Cross was because I'd been led there by studying the notebook. The notebook was a bonus item from a previous heist a few years ago. Can't give you details, naturally.
So the notebook was in a library? A bookstore? Your mother's attic?
Found it in a dusty old tin box in the back of a safe. The museum, or possibly bank, or it might have even been a dusty old castle, hadn't any idea what they owned. Was never reported missing. I knew what it was immediately. Good old Leonardo. That guy was amazing, you know that?
Are there drawings of the Lorraine Cross and the music box in the notebook?
Yes, and very detailed. Everything a guy needs to know to operate the music box is found within the pages of that notebook. Mostly. I'm still a little iffy on locations and such. I even took a trip to the Pinacoteca Ambrosiana right here in Milan. Did it as soon as I arrived yesterday.
What's in that museum of interest to you?
Da Vinci's portrait of a musician.
Anya was familiar with the portrait. It was supposed to be the only instance Leonardo had depicted a male in his portraiture. The painting featured a gentleman in black and brown robes with a red cap holding a piece of sheet music. His focus was not on the music, but off in the distance. Often considered one of his least important works, since it seemed it was semi-unfinished, some even debated whether or not it was truly Da Vinci's.
Part of the musical score has been cut off at the bottom of the painting, but I'm pretty sure there's a tritone in there somewhere. Now, I'm no musician. Don't you think it makes sense? The Devil's Chord having been banned?
Possibly.
Come on! How clever was that to maybe add the musical score when the notes were banned?
Clever? I don't see how.
It's the map to operating the device, Creed.
But if there's a key, what need have you for a map?
Merrick stuffed another cookie in his mouth.
You're diverting attention from your criminal dealings. What's to stop me from notifying the authorities right now and having you arrested?
What proof do you have besides a confession no one else has heard?
Do you have the Lorraine Cross? The notebook? You said Garin Braden had the cross.
He grinned, but only continued to chew another cookie.
Nothing you've said to me has been true. You haven't handed the cross over to Garin, and you don't intend to.
Of course not. You're good, Creed. What I'd like to know is more information about Rue, because you know what?
Dazzle me.
Rue is proof that the time-shifting device works.
That's absurd.
Evan's gaze darted to something behind her. He stood and grabbed a handful of cookies.
Suspicious characters at the side door. Could be Braden's bullies. I'm out of here. Nice talking to you, Creed. See you in Rouen.
He took a step, and Anya reached to grab his wrist. He'd done this disappearing act on her once too often. She would not let it happen again. Evan shook off her grasp. Anya was prevented from going after him by a hand slamming down on her shoulder. Evan rushed out the back door.
Let's take a walk outside.
Sure. I feel like a little exercise anyway.
She turned and aimed for the restaurant's main exit. The man behind her was twice her size, and the man in front of her was more slender but a head taller. The slender guy was dressed in leather motorcycle pants and a t-shirt that did not reveal any hidden weapons. He flexed his fingers into a fist. Outside, the slender guy turned immediately right, down an alleyway that was about 4 feet wide and had three-story buildings on both sides. Not optimal for swinging punches or getting her back clear so she could keep both men in sight, but she would make do. Where had Evan gone? Frustrated that he had a knack for continually giving her the slip, Anya mentally prepared herself. Anya ducked and grabbed the guy's forearm, then flipped him neatly into the other guy. Now she had her back clear. The men staggered to their feet, and the larger one reached inside his jacket pocket.
He said she might have a sword.
Did Brayden tell you that?
I got no idea what you're talking about, lady.
Oh, so I'm a lady, huh? Your father teach you to treat women like this?
You leave my dad out of this!
Anya swung, knocking the knife out of one man's hand with the flat of the blade. Anya slashed at the other man's thigh and scored his skin in a crimson slice. His partner scrambled for the knife and speared it toward Anya. She caught the blade against her sword hilt and flicked it away, then slashed the sword across the man's neck.
That's gonna leave a mark.
Anya guessed Evan's choice of hotel after scanning the offerings online. She told the receptionist that she was Evan's fiancée and missed a train connection. The receptionist did admit she remembered checking in a sexy American with the beautiful blue eyes and gave her the room number. When darkness flashed over the pinhole, she smiled and waved.
Of course you'd stay at the Da Vinci Hotel.
She shoved past Evan and entered the room.
I'll give you that one. Way too obvious.
Anya had a seat on the bed without waiting for an invitation.
So we were having a conversation before you decided to leave me to fight the bad guys.
Was there a fight?
You weren't followed? Figures. Was the harpoon in the canal meant for me? Because it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Sorry about that, Anya.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you're right. Were they Brayden's men?
I can only guess. But you're not working for him either. That's why he sent the thugs, am I right?
I haven't given you enough credit, Creed. Never thought a television personality would be so smart and observant. But then, I think you know both Rue and Brayden much better than you've allowed me to believe, yes?
Rue just hired me for this job. Now, let's continue where we left off.
Evan ran his fingers through his hair, exposing a healthy flash of ribbed abs as his shirt stretched up. He was trying to distract her. It definitely wasn't working.
Why do you think Rue is proof that the music box device works?
All right, you've earned that much. But I'll tell you right now that the Lorraine Cross is not in this room.
I believe that. It'd be foolish of you to keep it out in the open. But I know you've got it close.
Very close. You, want to search me?
Just explain about Rue.
I can do better than that. I'll show you.
Evan lifted up the duffel bag from the chair by the bed, picked through the contents, and pulled out a small leather-bound book.
Catch.
He flipped it at Anya. She carefully turned the antique over and studied the plain cover with leather tie.
This is... Oh, you idiot!
What?
This is centuries old, and you just tossed it across the room like it was your dirty laundry.
She set the notebook on the end of the bed. Evan made a move to pick it up.
Hands off!
Well, if you're not interested in looking at it...
I am, but I'm going to do it the right way.
She shrugged the backpack off her shoulder, unzipped it, and pulled out a pair of cotton gloves. With the gloves on, she carefully loosened the ties and slowly peeled aside the cover. The backwards mirror writing in red pigment identified it immediately.
This is the Da Vinci notebook you nabbed during... What heist did you say?
I didn't say, but good try. The Lorraine Cross is detailed on the first page. The info about the music box is toward the end, but there's something even more interesting in the middle. Here, let me show you. I'll be careful.
Evan held out his hand, but Anya didn't move. This was compelling history that had been kept from the public. The first page was an orderly mix of text, and a sketch on a smaller card had been pasted onto the page, the Lorraine Cross, and text written over what appeared to be erasures. Paper had been a valued commodity in Leonardo's time, so it made sense that he'd used as much of the space as possible.
Come on, you can drool over it later. Right now, let me show you what you wanted to know.
Wait,
Anya pulled another pair of gloves out of her backpack. Evan rolled his eyes, but he snatched the gloves and put them on.
Now, carefully.
Yes, Mother.
With exaggerated care, he turned over several pages at once and stepped back. The book had opened to a sketch. A man's face was drawn in red pencil on the lower right corner of the page. He was not young, nor very old. Long white hair curled gracefully around his face, and a few wrinkles crinkled out from the corners of his world-weary eyes. The artist had also illustrated a frown line at the bridge of his nose, a line with which Anya was all too familiar. The name, Rue, had been written near his ear, as if to label the face for future reference. Remarkable. Could this be the drawing Leonardo had made of Rue that night they'd met in the tavern? It made sense. When Evan met Rue at the auction, Evan had already seen this sketch. Had he tracked Rue down on purpose? Before Anya could ask her first question, her eyes noted the bottom of the page where the sketch ended at Rue's right shoulder. In black ink, written in thick, angry letters, was the word ladro.
Thief?
Why would Leonardo have written that? Had Rue stolen the music box? No, that made little sense. He was looking for the music box now. Although, if he actually had the music box, then all he would need was the Lorraine Cross. She needed to talk to Rue.
As I told you, I pored over this notebook for months after I got it. I know every line Leonardo sketched as if I'd drawn it myself. I recognized Rue immediately at the auction. But even more interesting, this sketch is the same man I saw in the SUV this afternoon outside the graveyard. You can't deny it.
Evan, if the man in the picture was Rue, that would make the Rue I know over 500 years old.
Yep.
Haven't you ever heard of doubles? Doppelgangers? There is an entire subset of blogs and websites devoted to celebrity and historical lookalikes.
You talk a good game, Creed, but I'm willing to bet you know the truth. And if you don't, now you do.
And what truth is that?
Evan rubbed his palms together in such gleeful delight, Anya took a moment to consider his mental stability. He had deliberately poisoned himself, after all.
Rue is a time traveler. And he's traveled to our time via Da Vinci's music box, the time-shifting device everyone's so eager to get their hands on. And Rue is after it to return home.
Do you write graphic novels when you're not stealing stuff?
Do not condescend to me, Creed. You think I'm deranged, don't you?
I think you're a man who will believe what you need to believe. It's gotten you this far.
Indeed it has.
But tell me one thing.
Nah, I'm not telling you anything else. Why would you believe a nutcase like me?
Yes, well, your sanity is debatable, but just for the sake of argument, where do you intend to travel once you get that device? And do you think you'll come back? I mean, if Rue traveled from the 15th century to here, why didn't he go back?
Creed, would you go back to the 15th century once you'd seen the 21st? I mean, global mass communications, air travel, skyscrapers, sanitation?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Psh, nitpicking.
You're right, Evan. No one would want to go back in time, including you. So who are you selling the device to?
The look on Evan's face gave him away. Anya knew if he had a buyer, he wouldn't spill. And likely, he did not have a buyer arranged just yet, because he still needed the music box.
Don't think about it too much, Creed. It'll give you a headache.
All parties involved know the cross is in play, Evan.
As I've said, it's safely in my hands.
Yes, and that it's required to activate the device, yes?
Again, he pointed to the notebook. Paging toward the back of the notebook, as he'd indicated, Anya found the part that detailed the music box. It wasn't labeled as a time-shifting device, but she guessed this was it. It had a particular steampunkish look to it. A rectangular box with a compass and a crossbar fitted to the top, and gears at either end, which rotated with a turn of the cross key. Another crossbar fronted the long, narrow side of the box with dials placed along it, like a combination lock. The box had been fashioned from wood and some kind of metal, and had ornate decoration all over it. She did not see a revolving cylinder whose pins would pluck out a tune rumored to have once called to the devil, but suspected that was inside the box. There were no interior drawings, it seemed. She closed the notebook, looking again at the cover.
It's the real thing. I sure didn't make up all that stuff inside.
So where do you expect to find the device? The graveyard was a bust. Does the notebook indicate where it was kept?
Anya opened the notebook again to the page with the sketch of the device, then stood and held the notebook up to the mirror to read the text on the page. She was familiar with 15th century Italian, but the writing was tiny and faded. One name did stand out, though.
Jean d'Arc?
Really? Where does it say that?
At the right side of the box, see? Near that impression on the side. It's very small. I wonder if that's where the key fits. There's only one view of the box, as if looking on it from above.
No side schematics?
That's the only page with the sketch.
Anya leafed through the notebook. There were sketches of people milling in a market square. A close-up of a cross-section of a pear.
Leonardo da Vinci was so meticulous.
The Lorraine cross had been drawn at the front of the notebook. Very small, about as long as her baby finger, though again, the detail was intricate. It was notched, almost like a key, a very elaborate key, and a few pieces looked movable, and she guessed from the directional arrows drawn beside the cross that they did indeed move.
This notebook needs to be studied by historians and placed in a museum for the whole world to share.
Maybe, eventually, but that's for the highest bidder to decide, not you.
I could keep it, not give it back to you.
Anya glanced up from the notebook, just in time to look down the barrel of a semi-automatic pistol.
Go ahead and finish browsing through the book. Since you're without a cameraman to record details, I won't deny you the opportunity. It'll be your first and your last chance, though, so look carefully. But understand, I have to protect my investment.
Of course.
Anya stared at Evan for a moment, then turned her attention back to the notebook. Even being held at gunpoint wasn't enough to distract her from a previously unknown work by Leonardo da Vinci, but she also needed time to work out some sort of plan. She returned to the page that had the sketch of Rue. Was he aware that Leonardo had drawn his face and labeled him a thief? The sketch, which Rue said he'd seen in a tavern, was done in Leonardo's signature red pencil, but the word was in ink, apparently added at a later time. What had Rue stolen from Leonardo da Vinci? And did it have anything to do with the music box or the Lorraine cross? Again, she turned back to the first page and the picture of the cross.
You have the key all figured out?
Well, no. There are no diagrams of the key mechanism, as you've seen. But the text that reads Jeanne d'Arc is now my best guess for a solution.
But her name doesn't mean anything. It's just another detail, right?
Anya scanned another page that looked like a list of trees, and another filled with sketches of various body parts, such as knees, elbows, and wrists. The music box page kept drawing her back. Anya tried to fix it, and the page with the study of the cross, to memory, in case she did not see the notebook again. Could Joan's name be the real key to unlocking that riddle? Wishing she had the actual object here, so she could turn it over and study it from all angles, Anya traced the lines of the sketch carefully, yet her gloved fingertip didn't quite touch the paper. Evan leaned across the table and tapped the notebook with the barrel of the pistol. Anya had forgotten he was holding that.
Okay, time's up. Close it up and slide it across the table like a good girl who doesn't want a hole in her head.
You won't shoot me, Evan. Too much cleanup.
Yeah, but you must know I didn't use my real name to sign in.
Right, but the noise of the gunshot would surely attract attention.
Why couldn't it have been you in the gondola with me, Creed?
You mean you wish I had been your partner in crime? I don't steal.
She closed the notebook, but didn't slide it toward him. From the duffel bag, Evan produced a couple of white zip ties. He tossed them on the bed.
Put two together and use them for your wrists. I'll tighten it. I can't risk you running back to Rue, can I? You know too much.
Anya knew she could deal with Evan easily if worse came to worst. So she threaded a plastic strip through the small slot of the other, then formed a loop and put it around her wrists.
I can break out of these at any time.
I know. But you'll play nice, so you can learn the location of the music box, right?
Anya settled back in the chair and watched as Evan got out a laptop. Emailing contacts? Prospective bidders? Both notions were likely. Was one of those responses from Garin, wanting to retrieve what he probably felt should have been his to start with? Or could it be that Garin was unaware Evan had turned against him? The thugs had not been concerned with Evan at the bistro, which led her to believe Garin might be unaware of the dupe. That man would not be happy when he finally met the frustratingly indomitable Evan Merrick. Evan parked his rental car in the city center. Anya got out of the back seat and decided she'd had enough of pretending that she was actually bound in any way. The zip ties broke apart and dropped to the ground, and she fell into step behind Evan, who had bolt cutters in hand. The majority of the storefronts in this neighborhood catered to locals rather than tourists. They passed a market, a pharmacy, and a hardware store. Anya couldn't see much over the tall buildings surrounding the warehouse they seemed to be heading for. Evan glanced over his shoulder at her.
Aw, you didn't like the bracelet I gave you?
I'm not really into fashion accessories.
I like that in a woman. You have potential, Creed. Think about it.
He flicked her that killer wink.
I no longer wonder why your last partner ditched you. So what makes you think this is the site of Leonardo da Vinci's former studio?
The symbol, drawn at the back of the notebook. It surrounded a diagram that sports a castle in the background.
He pointed over his shoulder. The towers of what had once been one of the biggest citadels in Europe were visible. The back of the castle arched out like a horseshoe, and the towers stood out from the arch. On the opposite side of the castle was the massive Parco Sempione. And somewhere, Anya knew, stood the Arch of Peace, built during Napoleon's reign. Anya eyed the bolt cutters in Evan's hand.
Let me guess. You were not the safecracker in your former partnership?
The woman had magic fingers.
Too much info. So, we're breaking into this building? What is this place?
An old glasswork factory. And we're only cutting a loop in some chain link, not officially breaking in. We'll replace the chain on our way out. And if you think I'm wrong about this place, take a look behind you.
Anya swung around. She recognized the dark hair and rugged face of Garin Braden in the driver's seat of a black SUV. And stepping out of the passenger side and around the hood of the car...
Rue? You and Braden are playing on the same team now? Interesting.
Not half as interesting as seeing you with him. Long time no see, Creed.
Not long enough. Thought you two were on opposite sides of the coin with this one.
The old man knows when he's defeated.
Garin stepped toward the building. He was dressed in an expensive business suit and brushed Anya's shoulder as he passed her.
We both want the same thing, and this one has it.
Garin gripped Evan by the throat, and Evan raised the hand with the bolt cutters.
The cross is hidden. You kill me, you lose any means to operate the device.
You believe in time travel, idiot.
Snatching the bolt cutters away, Garin shoved Evan, sending him stumbling to the ground.
You with us or against us, Anya?
Oh no, I'm not taking sides. I'm not even sure who's on what side anymore. The artifacts must be...
All in good time, Creed. Rue, you think this is the place?
The Frenchman had been scanning the area with a hand to his brow to block the sun. Anya couldn't imagine the city looked anything like it had in Leonardo's day.
It's possible. The castle was nearby. If memory serves, the distance seems correct. There was that little bread shop not far from Leonardo's studio front.
Oh, yeah. I remember the wench selling sweet pastries out front. What was her name?
The wench?
Rue and Garin weren't being careful with their secret. Anya was losing hope that Evan would come out of this alive. Garin cut through the chain link and tested the steel door. A firm kick from Garin's Italian loafers pushed the locked door inside. Without hesitation, he stepped through the billowing cloud of dust and into the cool shadows. Evan hustled in after him. Rue gestured that Anya should go next, but Anya paused in the doorway.
So you dumped me for him, huh?
I didn't dump you, Anya. I've been dealing with... Garin spotted me with those fools and offered to help get rid of them once and for all.
Once and for all? What did he... Wait, never mind. I don't want to know.
She assumed it had to do with those thugs that had come after Rue about the gambling winnings. And once and for all probably meant hiding remains in places where no one would ever find them. Deciding the device was more important, she stepped over the threshold and into the warehouse.
It's still every man for himself, am I right?
As it should be. Have you a flashlight?
Of course.
Anya pulled a small mag light from a pocket in her cargo pants. She flashed the narrow beam around the space. The warehouse was about 2 stories high and completely open. Crumbling sheetrock peeled away from the timber-framed walls. She couldn't determine if someone had been trying to fix the place up or had been cannibalizing building materials for use elsewhere. Either way, no one had been inside this building for months, possibly years. Her flashlight beamed across Garin's broad back as he ran his palm over a wall. Searching for what? If he knew the place, would he know where Leonardo had once kept things?
This is the place. Rue?
Likely.
You think this is the original building?
Many structures from the 14th and 15th century have survived the years, Anya. They've been stripped to the original limestone walls and fixed up dozens of times, surely. But the core remains the same.
If this was Leonardo da Vinci's studio, an inventory of his belongings was made after his death.
Yes, but he died in France. If he'd left anything behind here, it would be...
Rue turned his attention to Garin, who was pacing methodically across the floor, leaving tracks in the dust.
That's not here!
Both Rue and Garin stopped abruptly and gave Evan their full attention. The tension was palpable.
But it was worth a look, huh?
Garin lunged for Evan, pinning him against the closest wall.
You know where it is.
I have my suspicions.
How can you?
He's got the notebook.
What?
The notebook in which Leonardo da Vinci sketched the Lorraine Cross and the music box. I need to see the notebook again, Evan. Where is it?
What are you talking about, Creed? Oh, God! Jeez, man, will you quit hitting me? I'm on your side.
You haven't been on my side since you arrived in Milan. You think you can find a thing on your own and sell it to the highest bidder?
Garin gripped Evan by the hair and slammed his head back against the wall. Sheetrock dust billowed about them. Rue crossed his arms, observing calmly.
Yes, yes, Garin, you've made your point.
Anya stepped up beside Evan just as Garin wound up to punch him in the face. The impact of his fist into her palm was incredible, but she held firm.
Anya, I'll have the information we need in another few minutes. Step away.
She wedged herself between the two men. Evan hung his head on her shoulder heavily.
He was staying at a hotel, but he's packed up and left. Everything he has is in the car we arrived in.
Rue strode toward the door through which they'd entered.
Looks like you're taking sides after all, Creed.
Really? Because if you ask me, your opponent has the upper hand right now.
Garin shoved off from Evan and slipped away through the open doorway. Evan rested his hands on his knees and tested out his jaw.
Oh, thanks, Anya. The next fist was gonna end me for sure. Hey, does that mean you're on my side now?
Never.